Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
All go running around and around and around, and now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk, is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And that is the way it is, everybody. Hi, good afternoon, good evening to you, or good morning if you are listening to this in the morning. I am going to give you a quote of the day today, even though it has been a quote of the day for another day. I think today it is appropriate. So basically, it's about living today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Inhabit your moment. Don't rent out to tomorrow. And that was written by a writer called Jerry Spinelli, who basically was trying to explain the concept of living in the moment. And what better way to live in the moment than to see the humor of the moment and to enjoy it while we're happy? There is no better way. As a matter of fact, some people say that the only purpose for us to be alive is to be able to enjoy life. And to be able to enjoy life, one of the easier ways to be able to really experience happiness is when we do see the humorous part and we don't take anything too seriously. Our guest today, Peter DePaola, is joining us to talk about exactly that, about happiness and about humor. And what can we say about humor and happiness? Well, Peter has been thinking about it, and he actually has so much more to say about it. So I'd like to welcome Peter. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tippy. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
And
so we're going to talk about happiness
actually,
and humor.
Thank you for actually making me think about happiness and about humor, because we don't think about it so much these days when we're so busy being stressed. And to take a moment and to actually start focusing on happiness, just happiness by itself, and to start looking for the humor, it's so refreshing. It's such a breath of fresh air. So thank you so much for that.
It's my favorite subject, and I like sharing it with people because we're lacking a lot of it. Not that we don't have it at it's accessible, but we cover it. We reject it because along with happiness and humor comes responsibility. You know, we have to share that in order to really feel it and experience it. At least that's the way I've come to understand it. And for me, it's been in a, you know, a lifelong discovery. Like, what is my relationship to my state of happiness, and what do I see as humor in life? Is it a stand-up comedian? Well, maybe. You know, is it a funny situation? Sure. You know, so it all goes into perspective, and we grow from it, because we come to realize that there is no separation between the two. You can't have one without the other, as they say.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, you know, how many happy people do you know that don't have at least a good sense of humor? And how many unhappy people have, you know, maybe if they have a sense of humor, they look towards something that's dark or bitter, you know. So it's all relative in that way. Once you're happy, you can see things as unfold from a perspective of humor. When I say humor, in other words, we take it lightly. We can see the joke. We can see the underlying irony of things. We can see, you know, how it affects others and ourselves, a situation, and we don't have to dwell in misery and you know, discomfort. You know, I mean, let's face it, everybody searches for happiness if you think about it. Nobody searches, you know, nobody goes on a journey to search for sadness. There's plenty of that to go around. You ask somebody, where are you off to? I'm going to find happiness. Or, you know, truth. Like, you know, I'm going to climb the mountains of Tibet to find truth. You know? Not like, I'm going to go search to spend the rest of my life to find lies. Because, you know, those things are all around us. We're always searching for the goodness. Because the, you know, the badness or the darkness is free, and it's readily available. So happiness and humor plays a big part in that.
Well, something you asked that really kind of made me think, and I really can't come up with an answer. And what you said is, how many happy people do I know? And I'm thinking, I want to make a list of all the happy people that I know. And it's not easy. I mean, I know people that are sometimes happy and sometimes not so happy. But can I make a list of 10 people that I know that are happy people? I don't know, Peter. Can you? Can anyone?
Well, that's a good question. If you know 10 people, then you're fortunate. Because most of us don't know. If you have 10 friends that, you know, you call them friends, then you're very fortunate. But we don't know how people are happy. We can only relate to it by what's going on in ourselves. Our internal state of happiness is reflected in others. So if we only see unhappiness in others, then guess what? That's what's going on inside of us, and vice versa. You know, so we have to look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if I want to have a list of happy people, I should look for me to be a happy people. That's what
right. And then you'll find, and then you'll find happy people. But go ask someone, ask one of your friends if they're happy, and watch their facial expression. Just catch them off. You'll catch them off guard every time, because people have to stop and think about it. Well, what does that mean? Am I happy? And why would you ask me? It's a very personal question, really. Are you happy? Is like, why? You want to know if I'm sad? You know, why? Is there something wrong with me? Can you tell that I'm not happy? You know, and they have to really kind of step back and look at it and say, hey, am I happy? And what does that mean? You know, I'm going to do a series of interviews on the street in New York. Because New York is such a diverse place, there's so many different types, levels of emotion, you know, in states that I'm going to go like into the parks and on the weekend and ask people a series of questions about their happiness and their sense of humor. And I'll post that on my YouTube channel. But that's something that I'm planning on doing soon. So what's the point? The point is that, let me just finish. I'm going to have to brave it and go up to people and say, I'd like to ask you about happiness, you know. And they'll think that maybe is a strange question, but it makes people think, because are we truly happy? It makes us stop and reflect. going to say something, right? You're going to ask me a question. I'm sorry.
Well, I just kind of got the idea that you take happiness and you take humor very, very seriously. And you don't want to just keep that idea of happiness and humor to yourself. You want to share that. Because it sounds to me like you're really passionate about that idea.
Well, right. I wouldn't be wasting your time if I wasn't. It's a continuing, it's a continuing process. I'm constantly discovering what that means. I can only give you my impression today, what it means. Tomorrow, my impression could be completely different. You know. Mm-hmm. And then, listen, let's face it. Most people believe in this myth that we achieve happiness when everything is perfect, when our lives are perfect. You know, our relationship and our job, et cetera, vacations, all that stuff. And then we find that these things don't really give us lasting happiness. And it becomes like this elusive thing that we desire, but we just don't know how to achieve. You know, so it's good to, like, ask people, well, what does it mean to achieve happiness? And once you think you achieve it, does it stay or do you increase it? You know, do you lose it and it's replaced by another level of happiness? You know, is it constant? Once you achieve it, does it stay constant? It's something we have to work at all the time. You notice when people are sad and miserable and it's the oh, woe is me attitude, they don't really have to work at it. They just dwell in it. Right?
Yeah.
Food for thought.
So you're saying that basically a lot of times we say to ourselves, I'm going to be happy when I get a good job. And then I get a good job or even a great job, and then I don't find happiness there. Or I'm going to be happy when I make a certain amount of money, and then I find that the money doesn't bring me happiness. Or basically, I'm going to be happy when doesn't work. That's what you're really saying.
We can't externalize it. We can't say, you know, we tend to look at happiness as some future state. Like, I'll be happy when it's weekend, or I'll be happy when I'm on vacation. I'll be happy when I'm making this much money. And these things are all good. It's good to go on vacation. It's good to have money. You know, it's all those things. But it's our attitude towards it really is tied to how happy we can really be. Everything is a desire. So once you achieve it, all of a sudden it goes away. I want that new car. I want that new car. All of a sudden when you get that new car and you get that new car, all of a sudden it's like it's gone, the desire. You have it. On to the next one. You know. So we tend to put our happiness, externalize it and put it on things outside of us as opposed to trying to find it inside of us. So what does that really mean? I mean, it's like this. Only thing that we can really do is focus on each other and be grateful. I think being grateful and focusing on each other is a real key, significant key to finding happiness. And then
how
humor
do you focus
is
on each other?
Well, we take care of each other in a way. We put others before ourselves. It's kind of philosophical in a way, you know. Maybe even some would say, hey, that's what they tell me in church. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself, or et cetera. But there's a certain truth in that. Once we stop thinking about ourselves and be only concerned about others' happiness, we get it doubly back because we get what they've achieved, because we get what we've discovered from doing that for them, from giving, and we get back, we receive back from what they've got. That makes sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's basically one of the ways to be happy, or the only way to have it?
Well, I don't know if I have the answer to that. I think if I did, I'd probably stop doing this. I say, well, that's it.
So what you're saying is that you're saying it's a journey. And that you focus on it. So why don't you tell us more about it? What have you discovered?
Well, yeah, I just explained briefly what I discovered about happiness.
Right.
And you know, and then let me just talk about laughter for a minute and what that
mm-hmm.
gives us, because that's an amazing source of joy, and it's free. You know, you don't have to have money.
Mm.
And you don't have to be
mm-hmm.
tech savvy, you know, to access it, you know. So you just have to have the right attitude, a good joke and a good laugh. But something that's really good, because what makes laughter, what makes a joke good when it deals with truth? A lot of comedians today are very bitter, so they revert to bitterness, and that's not funny because it has nothing to do with truth. They don't speak about anything that – what makes comedy funny is when you can – the listener can observe and say, oh, I have experienced that, and laugh at it because they can relate to that, what you're telling them, right? So that's what I would consider a good joke and a good laugh. And also, laughter is a gift, because that is the greatest gift we can give someone is laughter. Succeed in making someone laugh, then we're like this physician. We heal them from whatever it is that they're suffering during the day. You know, and then we have to look at ourselves and say, well, if I'm, you know, if you're not happy, then and they can't find humor in life, then maybe what we need is some radical surgery on our worldview. You know, because today we tend to look at the world as dark. But have we always looked at it that way? Probably. But now we have media that just pounds it and sends it home, so we're constantly inundated. Once we turn on the radio, the TV, go to the movies, go outside of our home, you know, boom, it's over. You know, in that case, we're inundated with others' opinions and states of how we should feel, and what we should, you know. So, you know, we could say, well, you know, I'm not funny. That somebody would say that to me. I'm not funny. And then I say to them, you know, it's more important to see funny than to be funny. It almost sounds like an ancient proverb. See funny than to be funny. Because, you know, really, at the end of the day, we can maintain happiness and diffuse tension with humor. And that's just not my opinion, because, you know, I've discovered a lot of these researchers that have done a lot of work on laughter, and they found that laughter causes the brain — this is science, it causes the brain, or biology, I guess, chemistry, to release a hormone. It's called endorphin, and this hormone relieves physical pain. So think about it, you laugh, you're relieving pain, and it raises your level of happiness. See how they work together? I'm laughing, I feel good, I feel happy. So, and then I thought about this funny word endorphin, you know, and I thought, hey, that's like two words, end and orphan. So you can put an end to someone feeling alone by sharing a laugh. You can end, you know, end orphan. I don't know why I think that's funny. No one else does. So then there was another,
good.
Yeah. There's another independent survey of people in dying in a hospice, and they reveal that their biggest regret in life was that they didn't laugh more. And it's funny because you never hear anyone's last dying words as, gee, I wish I spent more time at the office. You know,
that's
not a big regret. But yet, you know, I have to say the workplace is very important in our lives, because happiness and humor in the workplace is essential, because we spend most of our day there. So we got to get up in the morning maybe and just imagine that we're starting every day like we took a happy pill, you know, with the intention to be the best at work, make everybody laugh and feel good about themselves. Because I often ask myself, I say, why do we take work so seriously? I don't know. I mean, couldn't we accomplish something great and still be funny at the same time? I think so. You know, I mean, we have a world of distraction. I mean, we've created an industry of distraction. I mean, if you think about it, Twitter, Instagram, what else is there? Facebook, texting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You ever do a selfie? In an effort to make life easier, we've added more tension and stress to our lives. Technology, as good as we think it is, or with comfort it gives us, it's added that much stress equal to, you know.
Yeah.
I can tell you a quick story. You want to tell you a little story about just in general? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, about.
Tell me.
Okay, let me just, a workplace story. I'll share this with you. So one day I was at work at this company, and their database server went down, and it was like the database server went down. Nobody can get to the data. So here's what had to happen. First, the users had to call the help desk And then the help desk had to find the database engineer. And then the database engineer had to locate the support team, get everybody on a phone call. But something as big as that, also the CEO and the CIO and the CTO and the COO, all the C-level management, they joined in the call. And the rest of the day was spent fixing the problem. And after the problem was fixed, they had to figure out how it happened, why it happened, and who was responsible. And then I look at it and I think of my dad. My father, you know, was an accountant. And this was in the day when his tools of his trade were a blue line yellow pad and a number two pencil. And when the pencil point broke, he walked over to the pencil sharpener, and it took him about 30 seconds to accomplish that task. That's if he stopped to say good morning to his coworkers or talk about what a nice day it was. I mean, he could have taken an extra minute to make someone feel good because he had plenty of time. It only took him like 30 seconds just to resolve the problem.
Right?
And then I thought, you know, maybe that's just all we need. Maybe we just to uncomplicate our lives. We just need a blue line yellow pad and a number two. You know?
Mm.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like you were saying, just to kind of wrap up my whole sense of this, you know, of happiness and humor, I see it as a lifelong journey, you know, and it should be, if it's going to be a journey, be a joyous one filled with gratitude. You know, if you were to ask me right now, well, Peter, what are you grateful for? Well, right now I'm grateful that I'm talking to you because I love what you do, you know, and I'm grateful that you give me this opportunity to do that, you know, to share this. And it's, you know, it's our responsibility, you know, to be happy. And it's our responsibility to share as much happiness and humor as we possibly can, you know, because there's like 7 billion people in the world. So we could get started. I mean, it's a lot of people. But you start small, you know. You start, what is that expression? Start locally and then go globally. So it spreads out like a wave, you know, ripples, you know.
Yes.
So I think I've pretty much, that's pretty much what I believe, you know, that's what I'm at, you know, that's what I'm all about when it comes to this subject. And I know that if we put happiness, if we put off happiness, it's doomed for failure. And not to sound cliche-ish, but putting off humor is no joke either, you know. Because my wish was talking about this, I just wish that everybody who hears me speak about this, that in their life, they can just laugh and say that their life was no joke. Because after everything is said and done, we realize that life is far too important to be taken seriously. Back to you,
that's
Tippi.
So profound.
I'm sorry. I think I said everything
profound
on my mind.
Life is, I like that quote, life is too important to take it too seriously. Is that what you said?
It's far too important to take seriously. Yeah.
Life is too important to take too seriously. I think that's a great
because
quote
what happens when we take something seriously? When we take something seriously, what happens? We start to create a lot of rules about it. What does it mean when I'm serious about something? You know, we take the joy out of it. I mean, it's good to be serious in the sense of our responsibilities towards each other. You know, we don't treat that frivolously because that's disrespectful and it means that we don't value life or our experience. So, but we have to take certain things seriously. I mean, we have to give it a certain intention or intent. But if we really take something too seriously, then we start to put rules and regulations on top of it. We become restricted, right? So life is, you know, it's too important. It's too important to take seriously. Laugh at it. Be happy about it. Never changes. It's always the same. You know, the cycles always continue. We always, something bad happens, something good comes out of it. Something good lasts for a little while, something bad happens, something good comes out of it. The cycle just continues to cycle up and down and up and down, you know, like a roller coaster.
I think one of the things that we do, if I go somewhere, let's say if we do something or I go somewhere and I laugh a lot, I come home feeling accomplished. I feel like I accomplished something big. So laughter, which you said is one of the biggest things in life, is free. And it's something that we should pursue. And is that why you are putting together something that will show people how to connect humor and happiness? Is that why you're so dedicated to doing something like that? Because you've gone through that whole idea?
Yeah, it kind of came about through a conversation with a friend. When I was doing speeches, and one of my friends said, you know, you're funny, your speeches are funny, you have a funny way of you look at life, you should speak about humor. You know, you should give seminars on humor. That would be great. And I thought about that. I said, boy, would that be fun and fascinating to do, with discovering humor, you know, but I don't want to make it like an improv class or an acting class or a comedy, stand-up comedy. You know, what is really a humor? What is humor to me? You know, I started to explore that. And as soon as I started to explore that, happiness came in. You know, this, I started to think about when I enjoy humor the most and when I don't. And it's all based on my level of happiness. So then I decided that, okay, I'm going to give seminars on happiness and humor because I can't seem to separate them. I don't even know if there's a word for that, you know, happiness and humor, you know, if you can combine it together, you know. But that's what I came up to. So then after I decided on adding happiness to humor, then I started to look at my level of happiness. How can I speak about something if I don't know, you know, what my state of happiness is? So that's when the fun began, because I started to realize all the good things and all the things that I don't like, you know, started coming, popping up. And that's how I put this together. So I kind of made it like personal in that way. And I'm not a serious person. I might be a little philosophical, but I'm not a serious person. So I'm not like, you know, going to like be serious about the subject. I mean, I'm serious in that, like we were just, I was describing before, but I mean, I wouldn't present it that way. My seminar is like a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because you can't discover something like happiness and humor unless you're having a good time doing it. It's got to be fun. And it relates to every single thing in our life, whatever we want to do, our relationships with our husbands, our wives, our relationships at work, in the workplace, our relationships with money, our relationships with the clothes we wear, even the toothpaste we use. I mean, it has to do with, it covers everything in our life. Because you know what they say? You say you can't laugh halfway. You can't halfway laugh, and you can't halfway cry. And if you're living a halfway life, then, you know, you're not living life to the fullest. I don't know where I found that quote, but it kind of sums it up as far as, you know, how it relates to everything. So everything that we do has to be to the fullest, you know. But we have to make a conscious effort of that. Nobody can teach us to do that. You know, I can't tell you how to be happy. I can't tell you how to live your life to the fullest, but I can help you discover. I think that's of more value. So I have this this seminar.
I love what you're doing, and I love that you have this focus seminar or workshop or a focus group or whatever you call it, and I appreciate it a lot. And so I've been thinking about happiness and humor. Which one do I prefer, humor through happiness or happiness through humor? And I decided that I like the word humor first, humor and happiness. And I have a new word for you that will combine the two. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
But before I tell you that word, I wonder why you use toothpaste today. Because yesterday I went out and I bought a toothpaste thing, tube, for $15. I have never spent $15 in my life on toothpaste. But this toothpaste, I spent $15, and all of a sudden you brought up toothpaste while I'm thinking about toothpaste. So I thought that was pretty weird. But what were you saying about toothpaste?
I said that everything is reflected as our level of happiness and humor. But I have to tell you, if I spent $15 on a tube of toothpaste, I'd want to walk in the bathroom, have that tube sprout legs, put it on the brush and brush my teeth. I mean, I would just want to sit back, get every penny out of that tube of toothpaste.
$15! Oh, my God. Anyway, so are you ready to hear my humor and happiness new word that combines both of them and that basically is the – it's kind of like the baby that was born when humor and happiness got married.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready. Wait
okay,
on
this,
me.
This is a big one. This is a big one, okay? It is yuppiness.
Yuppiness. I'm just laughing because it sounds so funny. Yuppiness. That's with an H, right? Yuppiness. Boy, would I have a tough time explaining that to people. Do you have any yuppiness in your life? Arrest that man. Oh, God.
I like him.
Like I said, I can't figure out a way to combine them together, and I don't think you did either, but thanks to the effort, it was good. Eventually, it'll evolve into something. Yeah, go ahead.
You know how you know that I did a good job combining them together? By your response and your reaction to it.
Yeah, see, look, you made me laugh. You made me feel good. I feel the endorphins bouncing off of my skin, you know, yeah. No, it's right, yeah. Sometimes
that's
silly
success.
Things. Yeah. Silliness and humor, you know, like humor is incongruity and truth, you know, or would make people laugh. Take a comedian like George Carlin, just not to go, you know, just the current present day. He's gone now. He's not with us anymore. His work was close to genius. I mean, he was a wordsmith, and which means that he could sit down and write monologues that completely you could relate to because they dealt with our experience. He never went off the charts and talked about things just for shock value. Anything that he did always something that we can relate to in our experience. And he put it together like a Shakespearean soliloquy. You know, it had a rhythm. It had a life to it. You know, that to me is, that's a work. That's a craft. It's a work of art. That's great humor. You know, some of the great.
Yeah.
He's like a humorist. He's like a philosopher and a humorist. Like, Mark Twain, America's first stand-up comedian. You know, he was a humorist.
Who was America's first stand-up?
Mark Twain. He was very funny.
Oh.
Yeah, he was. He had a real sense. Yeah, he had a very sense of humor because what made him funny was his view on life. You know, he said things like the French are the smartest people on the planet. Even their children can speak the language.
Yeah, he did. I
you know,
love
he said things
quote.
Like that, you know. Yes, he had so many wonderful quotes. You know, you just opened up Roughing It, that book that he wrote. It's just wonderful, filled with humor and irony and all kinds of things that, you know, it's just, those are his experiences in a time that's different from ours. So it's interesting to watch how humor evolves, you know, through the, not centuries, decades now. Really, generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The humor that I see today
from
comics, I would never imagine us doing that like, you know, years ago, maybe the last 20 years, let's say. Some of it's for shock value. Not all. There's some good, very good comics that are doing, you know, relations, the humor that we can relate to. But what we want to do is, you know, if you're going to take a seminar on happiness and humor, what you want to do is you want to be able to craft something that's important to you that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to learn how to speak well, have, be a good conversationalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Motivate the conversation, and then focus the conversation on others and look for the points where you can find humorous things and extrapolate that and pull it out and add to it. And you make the other person feel really good, and they feel special. And you do it at work, and they go away, wow, you know, Tippy, I don't know what it is about her. I really like her. She always makes me feel good when I'm around her. See,
mm-hmm.
So that's what I show you how to do. You know, how to create rapport
mm.
that way.
Mm. That's really, really important. This is really, really powerful. Can you take someone who's inherently sad and make them happy through humor? I think that's possible.
I don't claim that. No, because, you know, that's delving into, like, psychology. And if somebody's a depressive, I'm not a doctor. I couldn't help somebody who's a depressed, who's in a constant state of depression.
No, I'm not talking about depressed. No.
Or
no.
Depressed.
I'm not talking about
depressed.
Oh, I'm
sorry, I misunderstood.
I'm talking about sad. Sad.
Sad, just general sadness?
Sad is not always depressed, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. Yeah. Well, sadness is a state of mind that we choose, really, you know?
Right.
I listen to the news. I'm really sad about what's going on in the world. Why? What is your sadness going to solve? I'm sad that children are starving in that part of the world. I'm sad that there's terrorism over there, that people are dying innocently over here. Sure, we're sad. It's valid to have an emotional reaction, response to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we dwell on it and we don't put it in perspective, then what do we really add? What do we really solve? Nothing, really. We just dwell in our own state of misery. Just to prove to ourselves how bad the world is, I'm going to make myself as sad and as miserable as possible so I can prove that I'm right about how bad the world is. What if you were to flip that 180? Irregardless of everything you could look at as bad and start to think of things as good, when things are of value. And then eventually that will start working on you in a way that will change your perspective. It's a science. It really is like a science. It's not something that, you know, it's not any philosophy or anything. It is the way we work. It is the way we are. We are as human beings or as animals. But that was a long-winded response
to
your question.
You know what the wise man said? The wise man says, whatever you decide to do, make sure it makes you happy.
Hey, there you go. Right. So the wise man must have been happy, because just saying that must have made him happy.
that's a really good thing to say, because my mother, before I left the house, she knew I wasn't going to follow in the footsteps of the fanatical Orthodox life that I was supposed to. And that's exactly what she said. She said, whatever you decide to do, make sure, the way she puts it, make sure it's mouth-watering, meaning make sure you really, really enjoy it. Because I think she was much wiser than I realized.
That is very wise, yeah, and she's absolutely right. Because nobody's going to listen.
Right?
You're not going to eat a meal that's not mouth-watering. You know,
mm-hmm.
you want to enjoy
mm-hmm.
it. And then once you're filled up, you know, you don't need any food anymore. It doesn't mean anything. But in that initial state of hunger, boy, it's got to be mouth-watering. I just want that food, you know. And that's like anything in life. You know, everything that we do reflects on something else. You know, eating can be related to like what you just said about your mother saying, whatever you'd say, you know, make it mouth watering. That's a great image.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate how smart that was.
Well, we don't, yeah. That's another thing, like that reminds me of another Mark Twain quote. How does it go? He said, When I was 17, my father was the stupidest person I knew. By the time I was 21, I was amazed at how much he had learned.
Yes. Yeah, I love some of his quotes. They're really, really awesome.
So
and
we look
I
at
love
our parents.
That you're, yeah. Yeah, I love what you're doing, that you're actually going to get people together to look at the entire concept of happiness and humor and explore something that is really the most important thing in life. Can you think of anything else that would be more important than that?
Well, it all comes down, you know, to our relationships with each other, really.
The relationship.
Yeah, but we have to base it on how we take care of each other and how we, you know, treat each other. And yes, happiness and humor have a certain place in that. They're characters and actors, let's say. You know, because it's important to be able to relate in those levels. When
right.
we make friends, when
but
we meet new people, you know, it all has to do with how we're going to, how it's going to play out. And in life, everything that plays out for the best, or at least for the moment, is definitely related to our state of happiness. And our state of happiness is related to our state of humor. So, I think.
Yeah. So if someone wants to work with you and join you at one of those gatherings, or just to maybe somebody wants to find out more information about what you do, and or just maybe just have a little conversation about it, what would they have to do to contact you?
Well, I'm putting together a, because I've been doing these without any advertisements, so I'm putting together the social network now, and I can give you all that information, and you can then maybe on the next show, you know, you can just mention it, or have me back on as a guest again, and we can talk about it a little further. My social media is Facebook and Twitter mainly, and I don't have a website because I'm just too lazy to put together.
Do you have an email or any other? Do you have an email or any other contact information?
Oh yes, yeah, Happiness and Humor Connection. Here, let me get you the email, and then you can email me at this email address, and I will give you all. I'll be glad to discuss it ad nauseum because it's my favorite subject. Happiness, humor, connection. So happiness, humor, connection. That's all one word. @gmail.com.
Happiness, humor.
Humor connection.
Connection. @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
anybody
I can contact
who's listening,
you.
Yeah. Right. Can contact me there, yes. And then I like I said, it's very soon is the launch of my YouTube channel. And then of course I'm on Twitter, Happiness Humor Connection. Yeah, let me pull that up here. I post things
let
on Twitter.
Let me pull you up on Twitter. Happiness.
Hold on one second.
Humor Connection. That's your handle on Twitter?
No, wait, hold on.
Happiness Humor Connection? I don't see it.
Yeah, hold on. Let me.
This has been a lot of informational and a really important subject. I'm really glad that you were able to join us here today and talk about happiness and humor and all those things that, honestly, most of the time we don't have time to think about. And so I have been searching everywhere for a great quote that would kind of sum it all up really beautifully. And I couldn't find it. But I found something that I think would be really appropriate. And there it goes. I have no idea who wrote this. But we were talking about being sad and being depressed. So this is the quote. I'm not sure if I'm depressed. I mean, I'm not sad, but I'm not exactly happy either. I can laugh and joke and smile during the day, but sometimes when I'm alone at night, I forget how to feel. That's the closest quote I can find to what I was trying to say, because there's such a mix of a lot of different things that we go through every day. And if we figure out, or if we actually devote some time just to exploring our happiness and just to exploring the humorous part of life, then you can really say that life is so beautiful. Because if you have a beautiful heart, you can feel that beauty. So life, whatever beauty it is with happiness, it's like beauty on steroids, right?
Yeah, it's like that, yes. Yep.
It's like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it is, yeah. And I really want to achieve one thing. I want people to be so happy that they laugh or they cry, and they cry is actually laughter. It's not sad crying. It's they're laughing so much that it brings tears of joy to their eyes. That's a great place to be. Now, and here's my Peter DePaula happiness and humor connection. It says @ that's the A, you know, happy humor con, CONN 1.
Hold on. So it's @
happy humor con, CONN 1, the number 1.
CONN 1?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. That's your handle. Happy humor con,
yeah.
CONN.
Yes. 1. Did you find it?
Okay. Yes, I just followed you. So you have another
yeah.
follower. And you can
great.
Follow me back, because if you don't follow me back, I'm going to unfollow you.
No, I will follow
and,
you back.
And so, yeah. So it's happiness and humor connection. Happy humor, CONN1. Happiness and humor connection. That's what the CONN stands for. Not for the con artist. And it is about Peter DePaula, who is really a student of happiness and a student of humor and happiness. And I think that really give yourself a treat. This is like the ice cream for the spirit. Ooh, I love the way I described that. I don't know where that came from, but it sounds so good.
And we should put some syrup
and
sprinkles on top, right?
Exactly, exactly. I like
yeah.
The rainbow sprinkles, totally.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the things that you're doing and participating and really having a great time doing it.
Thank you. And I would like to add, if I may, if any of your listeners would like to know more, they should contact me at my happiness humor connection @gmail.com. Ask about how I can come to their, you know, their club, their event, their meetup, their workplace, and give like a 1 hour to a 90-minute presentation, which involves them. It's all participatory. Everybody has to participate in a way that is so much fun. It really is. So they can find out more about it if they email me.
So there you go. You can always email. You can contact on Twitter, which I like. And that's a great way to start a conversation and to start your happiness journey from here to wherever you want to go. And that's what Tippy Talk is all about, to bring you important things in life, things that are going to change your life, but not just change your life, making your life better, making your life as good as you possibly can make it. And so today we've been talking to Peter DePaula. We've been talking about how many people do you know in your life, make a list of that. And basically we said that what you really need to look at is how happy you are. We're talking about how to take happiness and humor seriously. Where we talked about when do you plan to be happy? Are you going to be happy when? Because someday really doesn't ever come. And we've been talking about one of my favorite quotes that Peter said today, which is that he wishes for everybody that life is no joke. I love that. Life is too important to take too seriously. And I think that I might have come up with a brilliant new combination of happiness and humor, but I'm going to let Peter decide on that one because this is your baby. And I think we accomplished a lot today, and I hope you enjoyed it. Do you have any last-minute word that you would like to leave us with?
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me on your show. I really, really appreciate it. And I guess the only thing I would share with everyone is to get such sense of happiness, to wake up every morning and feel a sense of gratitude for what you have. And our body fights that because we don't want to feel, we always want more. But let's just say you wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm grateful for this environment, whatever it is you have, even like the place where I live, the job that I have, the marriage that I have, the children, the relationships, the pair of socks, the shoes, the socks that go into the shoes, the fact that I can walk one step after the other. Just start thinking about being grateful. It doesn't have to be any amazing thing, but just start thinking about how grateful you are just for the simplest thing. I can pick up the toothbrush. I can pick up the fork. I can make the coffee. You know, those types of things, really. And then you'd be surprised the sparks that will set off. And so that's what I would, just in ending, like to share. And I have to do this myself. I'm no expert, so I try and work towards it. I've been called the master of the universe.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Thank you, Tippy. Thank you.
Well, it's totally been my pleasure, and it's been a lot of fun. And like you said, there's nothing like a good laugh to make the day so much better. So once again, thank you so much for everything, and we shall see you again very, very soon. Now relax, take a seat, and listen to this shamanic music, and think about all the happiness and all the humor that you can bring into your life by joining Peter DePaula. Have a wonderful evening, have a magical evening, and let your talent be your power.